Yeah, so sorry I'm not around right now, but Tommy and Eddie have the Professionally Questionable podcast in very good hands. In the meantime, from the road, I just want to shout out all of our sponsors, especially Carol and Manchester Inklink, Brian Lawrence, Brian Lawrence Properties, The Red Arrow, Brady Sullivan Properties, and anyone else who's had a hand in starting our podcast and getting it off the ground. Thank you, everyone. We know that the podcast is now in good hands because of your support and your help. And, you know, hopefully I'll be back soon. But expect some content from out on the road. We got some wild guests lined up for this summer. So be there. Check in. It's going to be a great time. So without further ado, thank you. And here's this episode.
Hey guys, Eddie here. Just a quick disclaimer for this episode. The audio got a little messed up due to technical difficulties, but otherwise, I hope you enjoy and enjoy the podcast.
No, how's everything going?
Everything's going pretty well with me, you know, just hanging out. Just got back from the old Big Apple there.
Oh, were you in New York?
Yeah, went on a little trip with some friends, you know, a little bit of What's the word there where you're culturing yourself, you know, went to the Met Museum, you know, walked around, had some good times.
Is the Met an art museum?
Yeah.
I think I've been there
they
before.
They got, you know, ancient Egypt. It's more of a historical art.
Yeah, no, I like that. I just got back from Florida this morning.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, no, it was a good time. I must say, though, so we were supposed to come home yesterday, right? I was going to be home by like 3 or 4 o'clock, but me and Mary get to Spirit Airlines, probably the best airlines in the world. We get there and they're offering tickets if you switch your flight to tomorrow.
Ah.
And they went up like, so we got $600 combined in like flight money. So they said that to us and we were like, screw it. Let's just stay another day.
Yeah.
They were offering to put us in a hotel, but obviously, you know, she's down there all the time.
Right.
So we were just like, can we get a ride back? And they were like, sure. So they sent a Lyft for us.
Wow.
Back. But then this morning, our flight was at 6:20 in the morning. It's an hour away. So I was up at around like 3:40 this morning and made sure our Lyft, it was confirmed last night we had a Lyft driver. So it was like, awesome. So I had called some taxi places, but they were going to be a lot anyway. So I was like, Okay, if we're good with the Lyft, we're good. This guy's already confirmed. First of all, they also texted saying that he was deaf and we would have to use texting, which was fine with me. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But then all of a sudden, I look and he's 26 minutes away. I'm like, okay, that's fine. 10 minutes later, 26 minutes away. 15 minutes later, 26 minutes away. I said, okay. Text him, are you still coming? Nope. Just declines the offer again. So now it's about 4 something in the morning and we have no ride an hour away to get to the airport and we're freaking out. And you know how it is in like these low, like kind of more old people towns.
Right.
Where
very lackadaisical.
Where there's not a lot of drivers.
Right.
So we start bogging out. We're like, we do not want to miss this flight. She has work right now. And we're like, we really do not want to miss this. So I start just booming the Lyft. Like, can we get another driver? No one's available. So I start calling taxi places. Obviously, it's 4 something in the morning. No one's picking up.
No.
We just like packed our bags and just start walking. We start walking. And she's like, we'll find some old people that are out on a walk right now. And we'll get them to drive us. I said, word. Let's do it. So we start walking. Luckily, as we're doing that, like 5 steps out of the door, maybe a little more than that, she gets a ping that there's an Uber driver. And I call him. I'm like, thank you so much. He picks us up. Boom. We get to the airport and get on the flight. It was one of those like panicked moments, though. We didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
Wow.
Other than that, the Florida was great. You know? Fantastic.
Good little trip away.
Yeah, but at that second, I literally said to her, I was like, I regret even getting the flights. If we missed this, I would have been like, it wasn't even worth it.
No, it wasn't worth it. No.
Yeah. But pretty cool now. We get the flight money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something else in the future.
Yeah. Maybe go down to Bangladesh or something like, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. What else is new with you guys?
I'm curious, what's up with Eddie? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. You know, finals week's coming up, so yeah. I've been in the books. Other than that, though, you know, enjoying life to its fullest.
Yeah.
On that note, who are we talking to today, folks?
We're talking to...
Matthew Nerney.
Eddie, how do you know Matt?
We have worked with him in the past during our, you know, real estate days. And he now works for the company Brady Sullivan as a, I believe he's a full-fledged property manager now.
Project manager.
Project manager.
Wow, project manager.
Yeah, so we met Matt back in the day when we used to hang out COVID times. We all used to gather at this place, and we met him there. And Matt began working with us, and he was running a job in Allenstown, kind of helping out run it. And they gave him an opportunity down in Rhode Island. So he's full-fledged running a job. He's 19 right now. No, I'm sorry, he's 20. And he's full-fledged running a job down in Providence right now.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for it. I'm sure you guys are as well. So without further ado, here's our boy.
Matt. Me and Eddie know you, obviously. Luke doesn't know you.
Yeah.
And no one who's going to listen to this knows you. Bringing us up with your backstory.
My backstory? First,
give your full name.
So my name is Matthew Nerney. I live in Candia. So yeah, I'm 20. Grown up in Candia my whole life. Wow, that's a deep question. I didn't come with answers.
What kind of education?
So I went to Moore School in Candia, K through 8, you know, made it right through there. And then I went to Pinkerton Academy, 4 years, barely made it through there. You know, we skated right through to the end. And then in high school, started working and then skipped college and just been working since.
So high school, so we're all, Luke's from West, he went to West.
Okay.
I went to Trinity and Eddie went to Central. So it's a good little dynamic. Pinkerton, what was your thoughts on that, being a New Hampshire-based podcast?
Much larger school,
it's a big, yeah, it's a very big school. Wasn't bad. I mean, a lot of people, you see a lot of people, see a lot of shit. But I guess it's like kind of like difficult when you have such a big school. You can't really like a Trinity, you kind of know everyone, you can incorporate everyone. Like Pinkerton, it's just a lot of people.
That's like a college and campus almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fucking huge.
Yeah, I found with Trinity, and I don't know if this was the same with any of you guys, but we had such a, you know, low number of kids that the teachers would literally be like, if you want to come in the morning, I'll get here early, you want to meet. Was it the same, or was it so many kids that a teacher can't really do that individually?
Yeah, you can do that. Or like, I never did. I wasn't the kid to, like, go in early. Mm-hmm. I was barely making it on school out of time, mm-hmm. as it was. So, if you could, like, schedule... like with a teacher to do that, but I was never doing that.
Yeah.
But obviously your education, you stopped at high school, so clearly, you know, you didn't feel the need to go for a college education. Why was that? What kind of work were you doing in high school that made you take that route?
So yeah, I started with Brady Sullivan when I was 16. I was doing leasing over at Midwest.
And how'd you get the job?
So sophomore year in my economics class, you had to do a job shadow. So I got in touch with Shane Brady, and I job shadowed him for the day. And then at the end of the day, he was like, yo, if you want a job, just let me know. And then like 2 months later, I hit him up. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for work. Like, is there anything you got anything open? And then he set me up doing leasing over at Mill West. So I did that for 2.5 years. So I started off just doing that, and then I met this wonderful guy named Larry, and he got me set up working over at Kennard Road, just doing demo and that type of stuff, and then got moved over to Allenstown, kind of started learning more of, like, the manager part of it, and, like, running a job, and then now I'm running a job down in Providence.
Yeah, we're going to break into a little bit of all these different kind of switches in your life. What was that job shadow day you did? What happened on that job shadow day where you had the balls to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to text this guy, ask him if he has any opportunities? Because I feel like if it was someone and they didn't have a good experience on that job shadow day, they'd be like, fuck this, I don't want to work with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like going with him for the day, busy guy. He does a lot in a day. And I feel like you probably even know, obviously, in real estate, you see a lot of cool stuff. So, and there's always new things happening and whatnot. So I think that was definitely part of it. It's just nothing's ever the same. Like between projects or if you're doing flip houses, there's always new things that come up. And I think that's probably the most interesting part is there's just nothing's, it's not just cookie cutter all the way through. It's, you got kind of got to figure things out as you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a pretty quick turnaround. You said you were 16 when you first did the job shadow and now you're 20 years old and you're doing now what, managing a project?
Yeah, so I'm a project manager down in Providence. So he's got, he, so Shane bought a building down there. And it's a, it was owned originally by Johnson & Wales.
Okay, yep.
And it was just dorms for him. And then they sold it this past summer. We bought it and we're turning it into 88 units.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, Shane is Shane Brady, the owner of Brady Sullivan. Just put that out there.
Thanks, Eddie.
Co-owner, right, with Brady?
Co-owner with Arthur Sullivan. Oliver, yes, that is correct.
So, Matt, you, I met you, I was telling Luke, me and Eddie kind of both met you COVID times.
Yeah.
And that was when you were just leasing.
Yeah.
That jump from, you know, you're sitting in an office with the AC on, jump to that to actually being in these apartments, moving around every day. What was that kind of like? Did you, what was the positives and negatives from kind of doing more demo and inside renovations opposed to leasing?
Yeah. So when you're leasing, you're, you know, talking to people all day, you're on the phone, you're meeting new people, people are coming in, you're giving them tours and whatnot. And then, so like, that's not bad. I kind of started to realize, I was like, I'm not an office person. I was like this, I was like, I can't do the office. You're just sitting there all day. So then when I started doing the demo, obviously there are pros and cons of that. The pros, like you can probably even attest to this, like you're working with your buddies, you're having a good time, you put on music, you're having a good time. The cons, it sucks when it's like 95 degrees out and you're just sweating all day long and it's just not fun.
Yeah.
And it's never good when you break something you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you cut a water line or some electrical.
Yeah. Well, can you give us, I believe there was a story about you maybe possibly in one of the apartments, maybe.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly there was some sort of swimming pool incident or
that sounds so good.
So yeah, I was working on a Friday. I worked a little late and
this was years ago.
This was two years ago. I was working late over at Kennard, just doing some demo. I think I was doing demo. Yeah, and I shut off the panel. I didn't individually shut off all the breakers. I just shut the panel off. And obviously that turns off all the heat. So I came in on Monday. No one really went into the unit, so no one noticed. And then I went in the unit at about 3 o'clock and the windows were all fogged up and there was about a foot of water in the basement.
Oh shit.
And it was a duplex, so there's water on the other side.
Yeah.
And it was, that was a bad day.
But those are learning experiences.
Yeah, it was definitely a learning experience.
We've all had experiences like that in the past where something goes wrong. No matter what you're doing work-wise, something goes wrong that you're like, okay, this is something that I'm never going to do again.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all had those.
And it's good that you learn that when you're younger rather than that happening when you're, nowadays, when you're running your own project.
Yeah, it's a little more embarrassing if you're the guy in charge and you flood it.
Yeah. That's when you just blame the newest kid. What did you do, buddy?
It was pretty easy to blame me because I was still the newest kid, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So I worked like on and off with Matt. We were doing our own thing and then we'd come back to Kennard. And Matt was, I really respect this, you were so disciplined with every single day after school. You would be there.
Yeah.
You were a kid that put in the hours.
I did.
And I respect that. And obviously it's paying off now.
A lot of hours out there.
A lot of hours. Luke, did you ever drive by Kennard Road?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful properties.
Yeah.
I remember when they were, my buddy lived in those properties before Brady Sullivan did all that work. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't a shithole, but it wasn't what it is now, for sure.
Yeah. They kind of looked like more like a house you'd see at, house you'd see at the beach or something.
Exactly.
Like weathered and run down.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that was a great project.
It after, what did it take, like 2 years to finish that place, was it?
Yeah.
From the start.
Because you guys started what, like February of 2020, and then I started up in like June, I think.
Yeah. But no, great turnaround, and a big shout out to Brady Sullivan for turning that place around.
It looks great over there.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're doing the demo. We travel down the road a little bit because I'm trying to think of where I was at this time. And somehow you end up in Allenstown at the new project that's going to be finished hopefully soon there.
Hopefully.
Yeah. What was that like?
To this day, I don't really know how I ended up there every day. My buddy Larry called me and he was like, oh, you're going to Allenstown tomorrow. Go over there and kind of do some stuff. And then from then on, I was there, I think, for how long have I been there? A year and a half?
Right around there.
I think almost two now.
No,
maybe less.
I think a little over a year.
When was your first day at Allenstown? Was that when we were boarding up the windows?
Yeah, it was when it was the three of us removing all that plywood
and boarding up the windows. Yeah, yeah.
And for people who different know, the Kennard Road was duplexes, obviously, and this project in Allenstown was mills. What was kind of that learning process? Because you're doing more demo in apartments. What's that difference, even for anyone listening that wants to know, between when you jump from a place like that, which is already pre-done apartments, to someplace like a mill building that's empty and was a factory before?
Yeah, so like the apartments, when you're, and this is even what I'm doing in like Rhode Island, it's more of a renovation. So you're not taking out everything. You're taking out what you want to replace and like what looks like shit. Mm-hmm. So you take that out, obviously. Whereas in like the mills, the demo is done by like a completely separate company that they come in, they bring in all the machines and they haul out all the stuff. And it's just much bigger stuff that they have to demo. Cause they'll be demoing out like columns, beams, random machines that are still in there. Whereas like the apartments, it's, oh, we're taking out these casings, the baseboard, the old curtain rods, like shit like that, the kitchens. Whereas Allenstown was an empty building and it's just,
it's essentially ground up besides just the shell of the building.
Exactly.
All the apartments are ground up and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw there was a certain point where I saw you would come to visit me when I was working on a flip or something at the time. And I slowly noticed it. You were taking on more and more responsibility at that job. So it wasn't you more of being a laborer. It was more now you're starting to manage stuff. Whereas I hadn't been in that position before, and I was kind of slowly watching you turn into that guy that takes the phone calls and whatnot.
Yeah.
Was that a little bit stressful at the time?
Allenstown, not as bad compared to like, so like Allenstown is, it's more or less at the moment managed by like three or four people. There's like three or four people working on it. So it's different people are scheduling or taking phone calls for different things. Mm-hmm. So it's not all on one person. Whereas like in Rhode Island, it's basically, I have a guy down there that like I talk to on the daily, to like help me out with like different things. But down there, it's like just me. Whereas Allenstown, it's a couple of people. So it alleviates the stress a little bit. Since more than one person's helping out with it and trying to get that place wrapped up.
Yeah.
And what does it really take for you to start becoming that guy? Was it just because you were so reliable and they could count on you, or you have good people skills? Like, what was it that really set you up?
It's a lot of learning. Yeah. It's just listening. Like, even like when I'm in Rhode Island and like we do walkthroughs with like different companies, if the guy that I work with down there, if he's there for the walkthrough, mm-hmm. I'm usually in the back just kind of trying to take things in, kind of see what he says, mm-hmm. how he words certain like things, and just learning and kind of seeing how projects progress and mm-hmm. go. I mean, I'm more or less like I didn't go to college for like construction management. So I'm basically just learning on the job.
Right.
Which I personally think is the best way to do it. Cause just sitting in a classroom and they're like, oh, this is how you run a 100-unit building. It's pretty easy to just tell you how to do it. But when you're actually doing it and you got people that are all pissed off at you for A through Z or mm-hmm. whatever it may be, it, you know, makes it a little more stressful. Yeah. So I prefer learning on the job, but you know, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say the college is almost like you're just buying a little bit of time. It almost seems like just stepping right into it.
Yeah. Like my sister's in college and like, she doesn't really know what she's going to do. She's trying to figure, she graduates in, what is it? Cause Chloe graduates at the same time, like 3 weeks.
This year.
Yeah. It's like 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
4 weeks. So, Like, she has no idea what she wants to do. She was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to graduate school, if I want to get a job, or if I want to do this or this. And I was like, I have a plan, and we're just going to hit the road and figure how it goes on the way.
And you started, though. You were technically in college.
Yeah, I was doing classes.
In the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, and then I dropped out.
Yeah. No. I think, and it's one of those things, I think with you, Matt, and this is like, I kind of thought about it before we all got here, was, sorry, you need to adjust me. On this episode, I feel like work ethic is going to be a center-laying topic.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when Luke was asking you, you know, what did it take or almost like that, when people see, and we talk about this before, is work ethic and putting in the hours and stuff, and that's what makes you kind of elevate above
others.
That's
what I was going to talk about, yeah. Like, you can't, like, Matt got to the place where he is at, not just because, you know, he was, you know, had this opportunity, but like, he worked 60 plus hours every single week and has been loyal to the company for, you know, 4 years now.
Yeah. And it's the same with you, Luke, too, with McIntyre. Is you didn't get there by just leaving every day at the exact time where you're supposed to leave. And if you want to elevate, you know, you need to care for that company like it's your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the topic of college, I also believe it's one of those things, and I think you've told me this before, and we've talked about it before. It's one of those things where if you don't know what you're going to do,
exactly,
it's what's the point in going? If you are going to want a job that, you know, requires you to get a certain degree and to have certain credentials, it's one of those things that it's like, okay, I need to do this. But me and you kind of see eye to eye where if there's not a reason for me to go, I don't know why I'm going to go and waste some time. Exactly. You know,
like, I could have gone, I would have gone for, my major in my online classes was marketing. If I actually went to just in person, I probably would have just gone for business, and kind of when people don't know what they're going to do, I feel like they just go for business and have a good time for 4 years, and then they graduate and they're like, what now? Mm-hmm. So like I said a couple minutes ago, I had a plan, an idea, and I was just like, you know, we're just going to ride it till the wheels fall off. And if it doesn't work, then college isn't going anywhere. It's not like all the colleges are just going to go under and I can't go to college. So if, you know, I want to be the seventh year senior, I always have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Was there any sense of regret? I remember sitting in a parking lot with you on lunch break one time, and you said, I'm kind of thinking about going to college next year. What was that mindset and what changed?
So the only times that I'm like, I kind of wish like I went to college, like I'll go to like a college event, if that makes sense. Like I went to a concert at UNH last weekend, and I was like, oh, it would have been like, if like I was a student here, like, oh, this would be fun. Mm-hmm. Or like if I went to I went to a Merrimack College hockey game like a month or two ago, and I was like, oh, like if I was a student here, like it'd be like more fun. So those are like the only times when I'm like, oh, like I kind of wish I went. But then I think about it and I'm like, I'm doing cooler shit than going to college.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, as someone who is going to college right now, probably the only one. Oh, Eddie's going to college.
Yeah.
He's having a good old time over there.
I don't know that I've found that value yet from it, which is kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I told my parents, and we've talked about this before, is like, if I'm going to college, I'm paying for it myself. So it's been a solid investment for me.
Yeah.
And it just sucks when you feel like you're maybe not getting that ROI. Like, I know that it is what you put in it, and I'm going to work as hard as I can at it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, what we're trying to do with this podcast and what we feel Manchester's lacking is community. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you can find a solid community and surround yourself with people, like-minded people who want to do something similar, you're going to find a path there much more quickly than you would college. Like if you're going to school for business and you want to be, you know, you want to work at a specific firm or law firm that you know that your school has a lot of connections with, go, because then that's the place you're going to find a good community and get your in. Whereas, like, if you're trying to do it on your own, something like that might be harder. Whereas if you're a fucking art student, you can probably go out and find that community on your own and not go the college route.
Yeah, there's 117 different ways to, like, as you said, like the art community that you can get. You can get in like different things and without having to go through, you know, like a liberal arts school or something like that.
Totally. Yeah.
I do think that there's, you know, a lot of stars had to align for you to kind of make that decision.
Yeah.
And it was the same with me is, you know, I told myself, you know, if I had never started working and doing these kind of things, I would be in college right now. And exactly. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just a lot of stars have to kind of align for you to kind of make that jump.
I'm reading this book right now, and it's called Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. And it talks about cognitive dissonance, which is, I'm sure you guys know what that is, right? No? Okay. Okay, quick explanation. I'm no genius, but cognitive dissonance is when your thoughts don't align with your actions. So if you're like depressed because, fuck, well, I'm not jacked, right? And but every day, or no, here's a better one is smoking, right? You're like, I know smoking is going to kill me, but I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
That's cognitive dissonance. And if you become stressed because you're not stopping smoking, but you continue to smoke, that's dissonance. So that's what creates stress for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And what they were saying is that everyone makes decisions. And it's like when you make a decision, you're on the top of a pyramid. And because people want to silence that dissonance between, the hardest thing is to, like, you know, stop smoking, right? And that's the way you're going to cure the dissonance. You're going to stop smoking and you won't be stressed about it anymore. However, people make excuses for things like, oh, you know, well, it's not really that bad. Maybe I'll cut down to like 2 a week, you know, a pack a week, yada, yada, yada. So what I'm broadly trying to get at is that I don't think there's necessarily a wrong way to go, right? Like, so if you don't go to college, you're going to, you know, have this many reasons why you're like, I'm trying to find the words to say, but like, you have this many reasons why you, what's the word when you like, you justify not going to college, right? So like, you're always going to have that. And then if you did go to college, you'd have X, Y, and Z reasons why you justify you did go to college.
Yeah.
There's not one right path. Right. And so I think that the grass is always going to be greener and you're always gonna be like, damn, I wish I went to more parties. But then if you went to those parties, you'd be like, damn, I wish I just worked harder.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we can necessarily be like pissed off about it. You just keep going.
No, absolutely. 100%. Matt, being, and this is kind of a common theme, and it's kind of something where I've seen it firsthand on a job site. You know, Allenstown, you start taking on more and more responsibility, but you're young as fuck.
Yeah.
You're 19.
I was 20. 19 when I started in Allenstown, and then I turned 20,
just turned 20
a month ago.
You're 19 when you start, and you have to tell people what to do that are sometimes three times your age.
Yeah.
What's that kind of, how difficult is that?
So it definitely takes a little bit, and like, that's like the one thing that like there's people that yell on job sites. I don't think, like, even though like I'm the guy in charge, I'm not going to go and yell at somebody that's been doing this for 40 fucking years and be like, oh, you need to do it this way or this way. Because like, I don't know the best way to do everything. So it definitely takes a little bit. I've found like just talking to like the different guys and whatnot, and kind of like figuring out how things are going to go with like them and basically getting to know them. And that definitely helps. Kind of helps make the project move forward. But yeah, no, that's definitely a bit of a struggle being the young guy who's in charge of a project like that. That's so big and you're so many different like moving pieces and whatnot.
Did kind of people ever make fun of you or kind of look at you like, oh, this kid doesn't deserve this?
Yeah. I had a guy in Rhode Island like 2 weeks ago who was, he was doing my cabinets and like, he was like, oh, I need this. I think he needed like a 1236 upper or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I got one downstairs. I'll go grab it for you. And he was like, it's a 1236. I was like, yeah. He was like, don't grab a 3612. He was like, there's a difference. You know that. I was like, yeah, I'm not a moron. I was like, I can, you know, read the numbers. So it's like sometimes stuff like that. But overall, that guy's just kind of like a bit of a douche, but...
Yeah,
because he's one of those, like, been doing it for 40 years, you can't tell him how to do it a different way. But, you know, it's definitely learning and just kind of talking to people Like, I really enjoy just kind of, as I'm going around, just asking, like, oh, the electrician, like, oh, like, what are you doing here? Like, how does this work? And just kind of gaining more knowledge that way as well.
Yeah. I found, especially, too, when I was down in Massachusetts, we would use a company everyone kind of uses wherever they are on different job sites, People Ready, whether you get people for the day to do work. And sometimes, you know, these are people that maybe can't get a regular job or can't hold a regular job.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these are sometimes 50, 60-year-old guys.
Yeah.
And you'll get, we've been in certain places when I was helping you out in Allentown some days where we'd have a door delivery and we'd have to run maybe 7 labor-ready guys. And we'd have to kind of just divide and conquer and keep these guys on track. And it was difficult because you're so young and we were both so young and having to kind of tell these guys, hey, and being a little bit stern with them.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to do this the certain way.
Yeah. So, like, I was saying to someone last night, we were talking about, like, People Ready or any of the, there's more than just People Ready. There's, like, Complete Labor. There's a whole bunch of them, just, like, the day labor companies. And kind of like what you just touched on, like, when they send you a guy that's like 65, I had a guy, they sent me a guy one time for a door delivery that had like a knee replacement like 2 months before. Like, I was like limping through the whole building. I was like, this is awful. I was like, I feel horrible for this guy. So it's definitely like what I've found is you find certain guys that will work, that are good. And you just kind of stick with them until they just don't show up anymore. That's what I found is the best way instead of getting new guys every day. Cause you really have no idea what you're going to get. It's like going on DraftKings and gambling.
Yeah.
You really got no idea what you're going to get that next day.
Yeah. So we touched on you in Allentown, kind of that, let's talk that jump between you switching from Allentown and what was the feelings like getting that call? Hey, I want you to go down to Rhode Island and run this job, because I know it, but no one else listening kind of knows what it was like for you.
Yeah, so like I heard like rumblings, we'll call it, that like, oh, there's like a project in Rhode Island coming up, I might be like running that one. And then one night I get a call from Shane. He was like, hey, I got a project in Providence. He was like, you want to run it for me? And I was like, absolutely. I was like, I'll give him my best shot. So I've been down there for like the 3-ish months now doing it, and fucking just giving it hell down there, trying to get that place wrapped up at this point.
Are you commuting every day?
No, so I stayed down. So when Johnson & Wales owned the building, they renovated the top two floors and then 2 units on the third floor. So I stayed in one of the renovated ones on the third floor. So I got an apartment down there. It's not bad.
Let's call it a bachelor pad.
Yeah, definitely a bachelor pad.
The switch, what's that? Talk about that difference between running a job in New Hampshire and, you know, where you have some people to help you, to down there almost feeling a little bit alone down there in Rhode Island.
The first day I was, that, you know, I woke up and I was like, well, here we go. And as times progressed, I was like, there's a lot more to this that like I never saw in Allentown. Like, there's things just, you know, come up, different things. And there's, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't see in Allentown that now I'm like trying to figure out. So it's definitely a work in progress down there, but we're pushing every day and trying to get her going.
Yeah. What's the background on a job like that, budget wise? How much, before even anyone touches feet to break ground on starting a project like that, what's the background that goes into a project?
So for that one, since like, I wasn't down there for any of the original walkthroughs with any of the original subs, but you got to walk through with the demo guys, the plumbers, the electricians, the framers, the carpenters, the drywall guys, the finish guys, even the site guys. You got to walk through with everyone, get a plan, get a scope of work, and then depending, like, we use the same, pretty much the same contractors for every project. We bid it out to one electrician. Plumbing, it was bid out to one company. But then there's like other ones that kind of get bid out to more than one company, and you kind of just go with whatever you think is going to work better. Even if it is like the framers that we chose down there, they were a little bit more expensive. But we went with them and they haven't been awful, but there's definitely been a couple of bumps in the road in the last like week with them. Mm. So there's definitely a lot of pre-planning that goes into it, getting the budget going, and getting all, like running all those numbers to figure out where you're going to come in on this project and make sure it's not too expensive.
Talk about, we didn't really touch on it, but what's kind of your you do all these things, you don't go to college. What's your parents saying? Sitting in Candia, they're not thinking much. What are they thinking about what you're doing? Are they supporting it? Are they kind of being like, what the hell's our kid doing?
I think it's a little, they definitely support it, but I think they're definitely like, I don't really know what he does. Because like as you know, I'm freaking, I feel like I'm like all over the place all the time, as you are too.
Yeah.
You're just always moving around. So yeah, no, I think they're still a little like surprised, just like kind of like a little, maybe a little shocked, I guess you could say, about like what I'm doing. Cause like they, like both my parents went to college. My dad was at UNH for 9 years. So they're both, and my mom's a teacher. So they were pretty much college all the way. And then I was my senior year. I was like, yeah, it's not happening. So that definitely took them by surprise. So I think they're definitely a little shocked, and, but they're fully supportive of it all.
It took a little
convincing to not go to college, but
did it.
They're supportive.
Yeah. I feel like, and two, also, as a parent, and we all kind of do different things, but as a parent, it's tough, and I think about it. I try to put myself in my parents' shoes a lot about, you know, especially more recently, where it's tough because they did everything back in the day a certain way.
Yeah.
And especially nowadays with everything changing, it's tough because all you want for your kid is just to put them on the right path. Yeah. And just kind of give them a push and say, okay. And as long as they know that you're on the right path, they can kind of let things go. There's different types of parents. I helped Mary do a paper on different types of parents. And it seems that we all have a authoritarian type of parent. I mm-hmm. believe all of us do. In which an authoritarian parent, basically, you grew up and you had rules, but you were also given certain freedoms.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an authoritative, which is super strict. The mm-hmm. authoritarian parent almost says, okay, I'm going to give you these certain leeways. And as long as you respect them, I can see you on your way. And I believe when I met your parents, that's the certain type of parenting they did. And I believe that's the certain type of parenting that will help the most and kind of set your kid up mm-hmm. for the future.
Yeah. Cause like nowadays it's college. But then like you talk to guys in the trades and they're like, you can't find a new, like an apprentice for plumbers, electricians. They're like, nobody wants to do it. Cause everyone just gets pushed into college. So it's, I know like the trades are having like struggling to find new people cause their pool is just getting smaller and smaller. Because not as many people are going to trade school. They're just going right to like a 4-year school or a community college, and just getting like an office job or like working like a restaurant or something like that.
I think a lot of people also maybe feel like they're above the work. They're like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to be I'm better than that. Like, I don't need to be a construction guy. But I feel like it's almost beneficial. Like, I think all of us have worked construction for many years.
Yeah.
And it should be like a draft. Like, you should have to, after college or after high school, like, go work construction a year or two.
We talk about it all the time. We're like, you just learn things. And honestly, I feel like you like just meet some of the coolest people mm-hmm. and then you make great friends in it.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, definitely puts hair on your chest.
Yeah. No, it definitely does.
And it also makes you want to pull out your hair.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. We talk about it, and there's certain kids that we talk about and we say, yep, yeah, they need to go spend a week down in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
They need to go spend a week over here at this job site because you learn certain fundamentals that someone else would never learn sitting. I know kids that go to college, and before they go, they never worked a job in their life. Yeah, I know kids to this day that are my age that have never worked a job in their life.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, it is going to be a tough reality check when you get out or when you need to find work and you have to sit at a job or go work as a waiter or waitress and handle these certain things. You know, life isn't always sometimes flowers and rainbows.
Exactly.
No, yeah, you get a sense of what life really is.
Yeah.
And you learn a little bit of humility too, because I'm sure you guys all have a story about being dirty and, you know, getting lunch somewhere and everyone's looking down on like, who's this kid.
That's a weird thing it's a weird thing, and we can all, I feel like we can all agree on this. When there's a, when you have good work ethic, and work ethic is such a crucial thing for anyone listening, when you have good work ethic, it doesn't matter if you leave a job dirty as you'll ever be. There's a sense of pride that you have in that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I don't care if I come home dirty. I worked my ass off today. And I, and just like all of us all, we all kind of thrive off that, where you could leave and be the latest one there and leave dirty. And it's that sense of dignity and pride. Like, hey, I didn't work till the time I was supposed to get out today.
Yeah.
I did double that and I'm dirty and I'm going to do it all again the next day.
Yeah. I'm guessing you've seen the clip. Let's see if I can like quote it correctly. There was a podcast and this guy said, to be able to buy things without looking at the price tag, you have to work without looking at the clock.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you've probably seen that clip before.
Yeah, I think the quote was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I heard that the first time, and I was like, "That is extremely true." Because like sometimes I'll look down and I'll be like, "Oh, it's 3:30 already." I was like, "Well, what happened?" I was like, "Where'd my time go?"
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know if it's you might be like the same way, but like sometimes when I leave work and I'm just disgusting and super dusty and dirty, I get home and I sit down and I'm just like happy. Like, I'm tired and, like, glad to sit down, but I'm, like, happy. I'm, like, that was a good day. Like, I got a lot of shit done.
Yeah. What is that? What is that?
It's like, weird, but, like, I don't know what it is, but it makes me, like, excited. I'm, like, that was a good day.
Yeah.
I think it's the sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I think it's a sense of, as a man, like, as men, our goal in life is to fulfill purpose, right? We're trying to figure out something that greater good that we can contribute to. And I think working construction is the purest form of that, because you're like, you know what, I get in there, I have to grind this, I have to pour this, I have to, you know, do this framing.
Yeah.
And you do it and you're like, it's everything, it works. You're like, you know what, I feel good, I had a goal, I accomplished it, and boom,
and the house didn't fall over.
Yeah, and the house didn't fall over and I feel good.
Yeah. And it's that sense of, I believe it's like a boy becoming a man or a girl becoming a woman. When you are working for a company and it's not your own company or whatever, and you stay late, but it's not because anyone told you to.
Yeah.
It's because you had a job to do. And it's that sense of stepping up to the point of where I care about this company.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, similar like it's my own company.
Yeah.
And I want this company to succeed like it's my own company. And it's that hard reality where we used to work 3 hours after school a day. And we'd be watching the clock more times now than I've watched a clock in an entire day sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or an entire week. It's that sense of, okay, this isn't just my job, right? At this point, wherever I'm working right now, this is my life. And mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make everyone look at me and be like, this kid knows his stuff and he cares about this place.
Yeah.
And that's something where whoever's listening, it's a hard lesson to learn, but once you learn it, you'll think about it more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I just like enjoy working late. You just put on some music and it's like just you working. And I feel like you can get even like more accomplished than when there's 50 other people there. So when it's like, sometimes I just, you know, enjoy working late. Like I think like the latest like we ever went, I remember when you were doing that house on the last one you did. I can't think of the street. The one you did like
Mass Road.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we were there, what, 2 nights in a row, or 2 days in a row. And we were there till like 10 o'clock, 10:30 one night. And then came back the next day. I think you were there too, Eddie, the next day, right? Or no?
Maybe.
It was when we were hanging drywall. Was Eddie there?
Yeah, it was the day he was like running around naked around the house or something. Yeah. You know, it's something weird.
He's
like
always
that.
Doing weird
He's
stuff.
He's always doing that.
He's probably cleaning too. Yeah. He's a big cleaning guy. Yeah. But like, just like working late. And that's like the shit that I loved. Like when we were like over there, just working late, even though we were fucking exhausted. And, you know, we're probably starting to throw drywall because that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But just working late and just having a good time and trying to just figure shit out.
Yeah. Yeah, like Luke said, too, it's that sense of purpose. But at the same time, sometimes I get a little competitive with it. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like when we're there, like late on a job or something, and say you're late at McIntyre or something like that, you're like, okay, no one else is doing this. You're like, I'm beating everyone else today.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first one in today and I'm going to be the last one to leave today. It's like a sense of competitiveness. But you're not going to win any medal or anything like that. But it's that sense of, okay, I'm going to outwork this guy, and this guy.
And sometimes you also get this weird, like, second energy. Like, remember when we were doing that drywall at Pickering Street?
Yeah.
That closet in freaking it was like, I think like 6:37. And like, once you just get tired, you're just nothing, you can't cut anything straight. You're just not having a good time. And I remember I showed up because I was doing something else. And I showed up and you're like, dude, I'm fucking done. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do any more drywall. I think we ordered pizza, I think we drove down the road, ordered pizza, came back and we're like, all right, we got this. And then we just fucking hung the closet and we were out of there.
Yeah. So you're in Rhode Island now.
Mm-hmm.
What's been, and I don't think we touched on it, but what's been the biggest downfall on your managing? Have you had any big downfalls?
Yeah, like that's a good question.
Definitely like not knowing everything, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of shit that like I see and I'm like, didn't think about that. So it's like just picking up on different things and trying to be better and trying to learn. But definitely a lot of like, oh, that's something I should have picked up on or I should have seen or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But that obviously just comes with experience and time and just kind of learning and figuring it out.
Are you hard on yourself?
Yes and no. Sometimes like if I'm trying to like, if you're doing something you think should be easy and you just can't do it, then I'm like, what am I doing wrong? But not all the time. I try not to be stressed out.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like just being stressed out like 24/7 is just the worst. I feel like you just never feel good. You're just always in a bad mood. So I try not to be stressed out constantly.
Yeah.
Do you find that like when you're stressed out, your workers are more stressed out, like they pick up on that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like a story about that. Like last Monday, we were trying to deliver some baseboard and we had five, six pallets of baseboard and we had a crane there. And I was dealing with that for like 6-7 hours and I was all stressed out. And like one of the guys called me. He was like, oh, can you come take a look at this? And like on the phone, I was like, I'll get there when I get there. I was like, I got to deal with this shit first. And then we talked after. I was like, I wasn't like mad at you. And he was like, oh no, like you're good. Like,
yeah.
He was like, I understand that was a little stressful.
Sure. We're called Professionally Questionable, Matt. You have a sense of...
What are we called?
Our podcast is called Professionally Questionable.
Okay.
So it's because we all have a sense of professionalism to us. That's a correct word,
yeah.
Luke?
Yeah.
But we also have a sense of questionability that comes along with it, and we like to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that there... At some point in the day, there needs to be that off switch, that mm-hmm. that chance when you can kind of rest for the night, whether you get on YouTube, Netflix, you go do something, a hobby of yours.
No, but
we frequently talk about it, and a lot of kids our age and stuff, especially, you know, ones that are away doing their own thing, studying, whatever, you know, it's hard to balance that workload with partying and having fun and doing your thing. What's your mindset during the week that we share about, you know, the difference between when it's your work week and when it's time to, you know, sit back and relax?
Yeah, so like I've said it like to you before, like I don't ever drink on work nights. So Monday through Thursdays, and sometimes I work Saturdays, but it's usually a calmer day, so I'll take it a little.
Sometimes you'll get after it.
Well, this is allegedly, you're 20 years old, right? You don't drink, you know, yeah, allegedly.
It's apple juice. Uh-huh. So, you know, like Monday through Friday, normally I'm not really going out. But, you know, Saturdays, that's kind of like I'll get after it.
Yeah, I like that. I like this guy.
Here and there, you know? But yeah, no, definitely like during the week, like I'm in bed, like 9:30.
Why?
So like, when I was like in high school, I was a night owl. I could go to like 2-3 in the morning every night, and then I would stumble into school somehow every morning. I can't do that now. If I do that now, I'm a freaking wreck in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. So I'm usually in bed by like 9:30, usually asleep by like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then waking up at like 6-ish.
Is it other values that you have and morals as to why not do that? Or is it that sense of responsibility where, hey, if I do this tonight, I'm not going to be on my A game tomorrow.
Exactly. So like, I know, like I've just learned in the last like 2 years that like, if I go to bed early, I'll feel better in the morning. Obviously, still gonna have a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go a day without that. But I just feel better in the morning when I just go to bed early and then wake up early. It's just nicer.
Yeah. I've had times, obviously, when we first get out of high school where it starts where, you know, I remember one day when it was the summer that we just graduated and mm-hmm. I was, you know, up late, probably getting after it on maybe like a Tuesday. And I remember showing up to work late and I called you.
I was gonna bring that up. I remember you called me and you're like, I'm coming back from the beach, but I'll be there in like a half hour.
Yeah. And, but it took a little for me to be like, okay, where are you going to get if you're doing all these things and you're mm-hmm. not even able to show up to work on time?
Yeah.
There's that feeling where I'm not going to progress the way I want to progress. And it only takes an individual themselves to say, okay, I need to make a change.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what separates the men from the boys.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I just like going to bed early. I have no need to, you know, lay in bed till midnight and then be like, oh, it's time for bed now.
Yeah.
So I just prefer going to bed early and mm-hmm. then getting up way too early.
Yeah. What is kind of drawing a little bit back from your work now and more a sense of, obviously, we're based in Manchester. Growing up in Candia, you're more in the countryside, a little bit redneck. But anywho's, yeah. What's your feelings on Manchester in general right now?
I mean, I like it. I whenever we, you know, have our boys' nights and just do whatever, you can always find something to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's really never a dull moment. So there's always a place to go or, you know, people to see. Like just going up and down Elm Street, you see the characters out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. Obviously there's always room for improvement. But I definitely can see like in the next like 10 years or so, like it'll be like a pretty booming place.
Yeah.
Maybe the next Manhattan.
If you could change something about it now, would you? And if so, what would you change? Yeah. If you could change one thing about Manchester?
I think definitely trying to pump a little more money into some of the less fortunate places of Manchester. I think that would definitely help bring up the economic growth in the area. And I think that would definitely help out the city quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I see that.
Obviously, every city's going to not have its great spots. But definitely, if they did that, I think that would definitely improve Manchester for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to my dad. We were at Consuelo's Tacos not too long ago. Actually, last week. What am I saying? And he was the Union Leader building is right right across the street from that, right by your school.
Yep.
And he said, he was like, when I was a kid, he's like, I remember there would be swarms of people outside Union Leader, reporters all over the place, gathering information because there wasn't any social media or, you know, places to post things. And it was all newspaper. I guess one of the presidents, I forget which president, out of all the papers that he'd get every morning, one of them was the Union Leader
because
of how, booming it was at the mm-hmm. time. But I love that. I love and I hope, you know, we get that sort of sense of what's the word I'm looking for? That sense of
community,
but also
collectiveness.
Thrivingness back. Mm-hmm. I know that's probably not a word, but thrivingness back to Manchester.
I'll take it.
that one day, you know, I don't believe that it's fully there right now. But I just I hope that, you know, going along with that, especially like we talked about the Cinco de Taco and all that stuff, mm-hmm. we get some of that back if we do more and more.
Yeah, it just seems like everything, and not to be like doom and gloom, but it just seems like everything's trending more online. And so like, why am I going to go out when I can get everything I need on Instagram? You know, or you know what I mean? Like, it's like I have my community here on my phone. I don't need to go. And so I feel like everyone's just staying inside more. No one wants to work in the office. But hopefully that changes and hopefully we have more of a human connection in Manchester, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Matt, as we're kind of wrapping everything up, one more thing I wanted to ask you about. You just bought your first ever car.
I did.
Wow.
You bought a nice pickup truck. Talk to us a little bit about the process of kind of pulling the trigger. I want to get this. And you don't treat yourself a lot. You barely ever take a vacation. I don't know if you've ever taken a vacation on your own.
Not really.
What's that sense of treatment to yourself kind of?
So I looked at this truck for like 2 years, as you know. I talked about it pretty much every day. And it took a little bit because my dad was like, it's expensive and whatnot. So it definitely took like a little bit of convincing on like his part to like let me do it. And then finally I was able to pull the trigger. I had a guy, he texted me at the dealership. He was like, hey, I got this coming up. You want it? And it took a little convincing, but I was like, or convincing my dad to let me do it. And then finally he was like, it's all you.
What's the emotions when you make a big purchase like that?
I don't think I've stopped smiling when I'm in it for the past 2 days.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures and stuff of it. It seems like you're, you know, ready to just
take over the world.
Take over the world, yeah. I was going to say make love to the truck, but no. No, that's fantastic, and I'm very proud of you for, you know, it's one of those things where you look back and you say, wow, I started here and now I'm here, and it's kind of a visible vision of success.
Exactly. Like, I've, like, bought some, like, other stuff, like, here and there that haven't been the cheapest of all time, but that was the first, like, thing that I was, like, I worked, and I know what I went through the last, like, 4 years, and now I can, like, see it right there, and I can be like, that's what I was able to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, definitely pumped about it.
Yeah, awesome.
Hell yeah. What's next?
Just still grinding every day.
Mm-hmm. What comes after Rhode Island?
I'm not really sure yet. Maybe a storage place, maybe another. I know we got some more buildings coming up in Rhode Island. So I don't know if I'm going to be staying down in Rhode Island or coming back up here. So I'm just kind of going day by day and still trying to get Providence finished up. Hopefully that's finished up this month, or it needs to be finished up this month. So yeah, trying to get that finished up and then just on to the next project, wherever that may be.
Awesome, Matt.
So,
yeah. Sweet.
Well, Matt, we can't thank you enough for coming on, even on such short notice.
Oh, it's all good. Thank you guys for having me.
And we wish you the best.
Thank you.
You think you're some sort of philosopher, some sort of question asker. You think you're professionally questionable, don't you?